There are many things I'd like to share, but I stop and I think, well, I wonder what they need. Well, how should we start? And so I finally just took the easy way. I thought I'd share with you what I need. And this is what you need. Well, we're in the same boat. If not, why, you can review your verses. Of course, you recognize the theme, rivers of living water, taken from John 7, 37 and 38. And we trust to refer to this repeatedly as the conference goes along. But tonight, would you turn with me, please, to Isaiah 44. Isaiah 44. We'll begin reading with verse 2 through verse 5. Thus saith the Lord that made thee, and formed thee from the womb, which will help thee. Fear not, O Jacob my servant, and thou Jeshurun whom I have chosen, for I will pour water upon him that is thirsty, and floods upon the dry ground. I will pour my spirit upon thy seed, and my blessing upon thine offspring. And they shall spring up as among the grass, as willows by the watercourses. One shall say, I am the Lord's, and another shall call himself by the name of Jacob, and another shall subscribe with his hand unto the Lord, and surname himself by the name of Israel. Verse 3 again, of Isaiah 44. For I will pour water upon him that is thirsty, and floods upon the dry ground. I will pour my spirit upon thy seed, and my blessing upon thine offspring. And we'll narrow it down a little more. First part of verse 3. I will pour water upon him that is thirsty. I suppose that next to air, water is the most important necessity of life. We're well aware that 3/4 of our Earth's surface is water. I am told that about 1,500 cubic miles of water rains on the U.S. every year. Plants are very thirsty, dependent upon water. It takes an average of 1,000 pounds of water to produce 1 pound of food. And that 10 to 20 tons of water will go through corn stalks to produce 1 bushel of corn. It takes a tremendous amount of water. The average man will take in 1 ton of water per year in food and water. And if you'll pardon the pun, that figures. Give you a moment if you'd like to catch on to that pun. So water is a tremendously important commodity. And now I'd like to talk just a little bit about what it means to be thirsty. I'll pour water upon him that is thirsty. Physical thirst is a compelling sensation. It's a sensation of dryness in the mouth and throat with a craving for liquids. The body loses water, loses fluid. The saliva is made up of water, and it decreases in amount. The throat becomes dry, and the nerves send a message of thirst. It is considered that the matter of thirst is a more uncomfortable feeling than that of hunger. It's steadier than hunger. It's like fatigue or like deep pain. Thirst is a compelling sensation. It's a sensation that indicates that the body needs water. I haven't ever been really thirsty. I've heard about people who've been out in deserts and been really thirsty. The closest to being thirsty was one of our kids last summer, who, as all of you know, had diabetes, and that was one of the first symptoms, just insatiably thirsty. this glass after glass of water, thirsty, thirsty, thirsty. Thirst is a compelling sensation. But as you think of thirst, it is not only a compelling sensation, it's a life-saving sensation. Suppose you didn't have a, you never got thirsty. Like some people have something wrong, they don't feel pain, they can cut themselves, hurt themselves, and then there's no bodily reaction. Suppose you didn't have thirst, and your body dehydrated, dehydrated, and dehydrated. We are told that a normally healthy person can live without water only 7 to 10 days. You can live a lot longer without food than you can without water. So this matter of thirst is a compelling thing. But it's a compelling sensation. It's also a life-saving sensation. That's physical thirst. You know, spiritual thirst is also a compelling sensation. Let's look at Psalm 63:1. I suppose most of you know this one by memory. O God, thou art my God. Early will I seek thee. My soul thirsteth for thee. My flesh longeth for thee in a dry and thirsty land where no water is. My soul thirsteth for thee. My flesh longeth for thee with strong desire, a compelling sensation that it must be satisfied. Thirst is not just being empty. You see, a car can be empty, but doesn't have any thirst to be refilled. You may have come to this conference feeling empty. Say, I never felt more empty. But what I want to ask you tonight is, are you thirsty? Are you thirsty? It's a compelling sensation. Not only that, but it's a life-saving sensation. Spiritual life savings. Psalm 42. As the hart panteth after the water brooks, so panteth my soul after thee, O God. My soul thirsteth for God, for the living God. When shall I come and appear before God? My soul thirsteth for God, for the living God, for life, life-giving water. And this idea of spiritual thirst is not the picture of a leisurely pleasure, but it's a picture of an agonizing necessity. Now, a hart is a deer, a stag, a red deer. And the picture here is that this stag, this deer, has come up to a watering place, and you can see him with his flanks heaving, muscles quivering, his nostrils distended. And maybe he's been on a long run, or maybe fear, or some danger that's come along. And there's this compelling sensation for water. There could be hunters nearby. There could be some mountain lion or some other beast of prey that has come, but there's a driving force that he must have water. And so it's not just a pleasurable thing, it's an agonizing necessity. It isn't the picture of sitting down by a swimming pool with a nice umbrella overhead and leisurely sipping a glass of ginger ale. This picture of thirst is the picture of someone who's gone a long journey over a hot desert and with a parched tongue. And it's a driving necessity, compulsion to have water, and comes upon a spring. That's the picture. And so we're told to be thirsty. But isn't it beautifully and blessedly simple? Just to be thirsty. That's the requisite. Just to be thirsty. Just to be thirsty. Now, this thirst is for God. It's for God. My soul thirsteth for the living God. My soul thirsteth for God. O God, thou art my God. Early will I seek thee. My soul thirsteth for thee. My flesh longeth for thee. I am compelled. And it is a life-saving compulsion and sensation, spiritual life. Well, what makes you thirsty? What makes you thirsty? Well, you say talking about it makes you thirsty. Some of you got thirsty just driving over here. You come over across the desert, thirsty. Well, I tell you one thing that makes you thirsty, and that's personal need. The personal need for God Himself. Because God made us that way. They tell us that 3/4 of the body's weight is water. Our blood is 90% water. The muscles are 80% water. If you say you got water on the brain, that must be pretty true. But we're made, and we've got to have a lot of water. Well, spiritually, we have been made that we need the water of life. God has made us, so to speak, that we run on Himself. So the very way we are constituted and made is we might depend on Him for this life-giving water with a daily, consistent dependence, just drinking. One who's thirsty. Are you thirsty? I'm thirsty. I've been thirsty for a lot of things. I've been thirsty for fellowship with you. I've got a greater thirst, I think, for the Word than I've had and that I could remember. But above all, a thirst for God. A thirst for God. So our personal need makes us thirsty. What else makes you thirsty? A dry and thirsty land where no water is. I thought so many times of the trip that I took going to Honolulu a year and a half ago, when the chaplain out there was to arrange our meetings, and just about 2 weeks before we got there or less, he was killed in a plane crash in Guam. And I went out and I called on his widow. And while I was there, her little boy walked in and said, well, and ignoring me as a guest, but said, well, Mother, couldn't Daddy build a boat and get home? And then she talked with him a little bit, and he went on outside, and she said, you know, Lauren, that the day after I got the news that my husband killed, people started coming in from early morning to late at night, crying on my shoulder. And she said there was not one verse of Scripture, there was not one prayer, there was nothing until about 10 or 10:30 that night, some man that I didn't know, or some godly pastor, came in. And when he walked into that room, she said, everything brightened up. He had a word of the Scripture. He had a word of prayer. And I thought to myself, now, as this dear lady has gone back to home and the excitement's died down, she dwelled in a dry and thirsty land in the day of her heartache. What kind of a dry and thirsty land has she been dwelling in since? That makes you thirsty, doesn't it? Sorrow make you thirsty. This dry and thirsty land. Or maybe somebody's in an automobile accident and everybody sends letters and telegrams and visits. Then there are the long months of convalescence when people seem to have forgotten. There's a time when you get thirsty. There's a time when you long for God. And though people are well-meaning and all the rest, yet when they fail us, God takes us up. And so these are things that God will bring along and allow us to be thirsty for Himself. Solitude. Oh, maybe the man of the house is going on a trip overseas. Everybody's excited. The great day comes. We have a great farewell. She goes home to the problems with the kids and the day-to-day things and gets a little lonely. Thirsty. But we have one who abundantly meets every need. Then the heat of the battle. That makes you thirsty, doesn't it? When you get out knocking around a campus or on a base and you come home sometimes disappointed and it seems like days or weeks have gone by and you have slugged it out, you kind of come home thirsty? Yeah, I guess. Or your key men that you thought were key men conk out, or even more so, as occasionally happens, they rise up against you. then you get out alone somewhere and you're cast upon God, and you know that takes on a new significance. Oh God, thou art my God, early will I seek thee, my soul thirsteth for thee. My flesh longeth for thee in a dry and thirsty land where no water is, to see thy power and thy glory so as I have seen thee in the sanctuary. But thank God for the things that make you thirsty for him, huh? When you try to serve and you're misjudged, put you back on him, doesn't it? It's good. Well, what else makes you thirsty? Well, salt makes you thirsty, doesn't it? Well, they asked the little girl, what's salt good for? Well, salt makes you thirsty. And Christians are the salt of the earth. And being around real, spirit-filled, vibrant Christians makes you thirsty. Whenever I have an hour's time with Hugh Mitchell, it makes me thirsty. Doesn't it, you? To pray with that man, to hear him quote Scripture, makes you thirsty for God. To have an hour, an afternoon with Billy Graham, it leaves me thirsty for God. This wonderful thirst that God wants us to have and that he himself can meet. Are you thirsty? I suppose there are some things that quench thirst artificially, that dull it at least, maybe at ease in Zion, we're not out in the battle, insulated from the world's needs, unconfessed sin. But I trust tonight we're thirsty. I will pour water upon him that is thirsty. You thirsty? Then the need will be met by God, by the living God. The living God who gives us living water. Jesus said, I am come that they might have life. And not just barely squeak out, but they might have it more abundantly. Living water, vibrant, bubbling, unending. Isaiah 58, it talks about that you'd be like a watered garden whose waters fail not. You want to be like a watered garden? Well, I think that's a legitimate desire for his sake. All right, we'll take this scripture over here in John 7. In the last day, that great day of the feast, the most important day of the feast, Jesus stood and cried, if any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink. He that believeth on me, as the scripture has said, out of his innermost being shall flow rivers of living water. You know, all you have to do is drink. Isn't that wonderful? It's easy to be thirsty. A baby can be thirsty. And a baby can drink. We don't have to teach them. They know how. Drink. God has certainly put it on the least common denominator, hasn't he? And that gets all of us in on it. We have water. Rivers of living water. And then it says in Isaiah 44:3, and floods upon the dry ground. Water, rivers of living water, and that just go out into floods. The abundant influences of the Holy Spirit for whatever needs we have. As individuals, as those who are co-laboring together, we have all we need. Did you think so? Think so. We know it. All his resources are at our disposal. And tonight, the main thing I'd like to get across is that God might create in us even greater to make us thirsty than this drink. Are you thirsty? I pray that God will pour water on us these days until that water becomes rivers. Rivers of living water. And those rivers in turn overflow till it becomes floods of divine grace, sufficiency, and blessing. Let's pray. Dear Father, tonight we come as those who are thirsty, and the invitation to drink
How we thank thee for this promise. I will pour water upon him that is thirsty, and floods upon the dry ground. And as we fellowship with one another, Lord, I pray that we may be salt one to another, to increase our thirst, our longing for the living God, and therein to be satisfied in him. So by the power of the Holy Spirit, wilt thou center our affections, our desires, a compelling sensation, a life-giving direction in this way. We pray it in Jesus' name. Amen.